Now, we've moved on from Essex folklore this week, and Margaret Mills has the true story of an Essex poisoner. And I think it took them some years to identify just who she was. What was all this about then, Margaret?
Right, this concerns a lady called Sarah Chesham, the wife of a humble labourer who was living in Clavering in the 1840s. And the story starts around about 1847, when Sarah and Richard had been married for a number of years, and they had about 8 children by this time. And Sarah was widely rumoured in the village to be involved in a extramarital relationship with a very wealthy farmer called Thomas Newport, who also lived in Clavering. Now, Newport was rumoured to be the father of at least one of Sarah's children. And one day, Sarah was found cursing Newport very loudly and saying, "It's all his fault that I've come to this." And nobody really knew what she was talking about, but it was subsequently discovered that one of her younger sons, Joseph, was quite seriously ill. The doctor was called, and the boy was obviously in a very bad way. The doctor could do very little, just thought that the child had colic or a fever or something. But nobody was surprised when a few days later the child died, promptly followed by one of her other children who'd also become ill shortly after Joseph. This was another son called James. James also died shortly afterwards, and people were very suspicious that Sarah might have somehow been involved in killing two of her own children. And people began to speculate, and the speculation was that the two children that had died were the natural children of not her husband Richard, but Thomas Newport, the wealthy farmer who was rumoured to be her lover. Now, nobody could prove this, but the murmurings eventually came to the ears of the village constable. The village constable questioned her, and he ordered a post-mortem on the bodies of both boys. Both boys were exhumed from the churchyard where they'd been buried, and the bodies were found to contain slight traces of arsenic. Now, to us, this sounds like perhaps concrete proof that somebody had been trying to poison these two poor boys and had perhaps succeeded. But bear in mind, in the 1840s, arsenic or traces of arsenic could be found in a number of foodstuffs, including bread. And bread, obviously, formed a large part of the diet of the lower classes, of which Sarah, her husband and family obviously belonged. And so, although traces of arsenic were found, the surgeon who did the post-mortem's opinion was that there was insufficient to say that Sarah had deliberately murdered her own two sons. Time passed and things began to quieten down, as they do, when suddenly Richard, Sarah's husband, also fell ill. Now, he was heard to say, "I fell ill after eating a rice pudding." Now, a friend of Sarah's, a lady called Hannah Phillips, had heard Sarah say, "There is a way to get rid of husbands, and I will tell you, if you want to get rid of your husband, I know a remedy to get rid of them." Hannah had been having her own marriage problems at this time. Hannah was horrified, but assumed that Sarah was only joking. After all the rumours had arisen about the death of the two boys, Hannah became suspicious, but she didn't report her suspicions. She kept them to herself. But now Richard, the husband of Sarah Chesham, was ill and looked as though he was about to die. She remembered what Sarah had said. To the village constable again she went. The village constable came to Richard, and ill as Richard was, he questioned him as to what he'd eaten, and Richard confirmed to the village constable that he had indeed eaten a rice pudding that Sarah had made him, and shortly afterwards had begun to feel ill. Now, Richard died within a couple of days, And now the village constable, quite alarmed, ordered a post-mortem on the body of Richard. Again, arsenic was found in the body, but this time in larger amounts. The problem was that the surgeon who did the post-mortem was again reluctant to give a firm opinion that Richard had been deliberately murdered, in spite of the fact that the two boys had died previously and the results of their post-mortems had indicated the same, and in spite of what Hannah Phillips had told the village constable. Now, this is when things really become exciting, because you would think that Sarah would be very anxious to lie low for a while after this, but no. She confronted Hannah Phillips and accused Hannah Phillips of trying to get her hung for murder. And there was a terrific row in the village, witnessed by many people, witnessed also by the village constable, who by now was beginning to think there must be something that he was missing. Things seemed to get smoothed down again. We don't know why, whether Sarah was able to give a plausible explanation to the village constable, or whether the village constable was just a bit slow at doing his work, we don't know. But another year or 18 months passed without any incident. And then Hannah Phillips again goes to the village constable and says, "Have you ever searched Sarah's house?" The village constable admitted that he hadn't, but by this time there were rumours that Sarah's next victim was going to be Thomas Newport, her lover. The village constable ordered a search of the house, and sure enough, in the house he found a sack of rice. Remembering what had been said about Richard's death, that he'd eaten a rice pudding, he ordered tests on the rice, and the tests revealed that the sack of rice was riddled with arsenic. So perhaps Thomas Newport was very lucky that the village constable finally decided to do something positive before Sarah got a chance to cook a rice pudding for him. Sarah was arrested. She was put up for trial, and amazingly, on her trial at Chelmsford the first time, she was found not guilty by a jury, because when the medical reports were read, there was insufficient arsenic in all of the bodies to prove that it had been administered over a period of time in large quantities. So even though people were pretty sure of what Sarah had done, she had managed to evade the gallows. A couple of years passed, and techniques for analysis had moved on slightly, and it was decided to bring Sarah again to trial, but this time on an alternative charge of attempting to murder by administering arsenic poisoning, rather than a charge of murder. Now, apparently, it was easier to prove attempting to murder by means of arsenic than it was proving murder by arsenic. And on this second attempt at trying Sarah, she was found guilty and was subsequently hanged in early 1851 outside Chelmsford Prison. Now, this story has a positive outcome. The positive outcome was that the murder and the fact that children had been involved and the fact that she'd evaded justice for nearly 4 years so scandalised England and so scandalised the press that they started a campaign for changes to be made, in that people could obtain poison far too easily. And it was in 1851, following Sarah's hanging, that the first steps were made to tighten up the restrictions on being able to sell poisons. Before then, it was comparatively easy to buy poison for any number of things. It was used as bait, it was used to trap rodents, it was used for all sorts of things, and you could literally buy it across the counter. But Sarah's case had proved that this was dangerous, and from 1851 onwards we can see the law beginning to change, whereby if you wanted to buy poisons, you had to prove who you were, sign the poisons register, and to say why you wanted the poison and what you intended to use it for. So in a way, Sarah, the wife of a humble labourer, was responsible for changing the law of England.
Wow, thank you very much indeed for that one. Amazing. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Thanks.
Let's see what you've got next week.